Welcome to our deep dive into the psychology of aging. We're going to be looking at this book, Psychological Factors in Aging, Harnessing the Mind for Longevity, to figure out some practical ways to make your aging journey even better. Turns out, your mind plays a bigger role than you might think. We'll explore some fascinating connections between mental and physical health, and it's all backed by scientific research, not just, you know, feel-good stuff.
It's really exciting to see this shift. We're finally moving beyond just the physical stuff when we talk about aging and really starting to recognize just how much our thoughts and feelings, our outlook, you know, influence how we age.
I know. I was amazed to learn about the impact of optimism, for example.
Dude.
We've all heard, think positive, right?
Right.
But this book takes it to a whole new level. It shows how a positive outlook can actually help you live longer. There was one study that found that optimists actually had a 15% longer lifespan.
Yeah.
Than their pessimistic, I guess, counterparts. That's pretty wild, isn't
it? That is, but it's not magic, right?
Yeah.
The book explains the science behind it. Like, optimism has been linked to lower levels of cortisol. That's the stress hormone. And, well, you know, when your cortisol levels are high all the time, it causes inflammation.
Right.
And inflammation, well, that's a major factor in aging.
Oh, wow.
It's like a chain reaction. Optimism equals less stress. Less stress equals less inflammation. And that all adds up to healthier aging.
So those choose happiness posters we see everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe they actually have some science behind them after all.
They might. It really goes deeper than just, you know, feeling good. There's some really interesting research that links optimism to longer telomeres.
Telomeres. Now, remind me what those are again.
Sure. Telomeres are like protective caps on the ends of your DNA strands. They get shorter as we age. That's natural. But studies are showing that optimism might actually slow that down. It's almost like, well, you know.
Wow.
A cellular fountain of youth.
That's pretty incredible. But what about people like me who aren't naturally optimistic? Can we, you know, learn to be more optimistic?
Well, that's the good news. Optimism is a skill. You can actually learn it and get better at it. The book talks about things like gratitude journaling. It's a way to shift your perspective. And it's not just some fluffy feel-good exercise.
Right.
It's a way to train your brain to focus on the good things in your life. And there's science to back it up.
You know, I actually started a gratitude journal myself recently.
Oh, really?
And I have to say, it's really been a game changer. It really does make you appreciate the little things more.
It does. And it's not about pretending the bad stuff isn't there. Life's going to throw curveballs. That's just how it is.
Right.
It's about reframing those negative thoughts when they pop up. So instead of dwelling on a setback, you ask yourself, okay, what can I learn from this? That shift in your focus can totally change how your body reacts to stress.
So instead of getting stuck in that, you know, negative spiral, we can choose to look at those challenges as opportunities to grow.
Exactly.
That's a big shift, isn't it?
It is. And it leads right into another really important part of healthy aging, connection. We all know relationships are important. But the science behind it is fascinating.
Yeah. This is where the Harvard study of adult development comes in.
Yes.
It's one of the longest studies ever done on human happiness. The thing that blew me away was that they found the strongest predictor of a happy and healthy life wasn't money, wasn't fame. It was close relationships. It really shows you just how important connections are to how we feel.
Absolutely. The book talks about how strong social connections help us handle stress better. It's like having a support system built right in, you know? Friends, family, they help you get through the rough patches. It's about feeling loved, supported, and understood. And as we were just talking about, that directly affects our physical health.
It makes you think, maybe we should be prioritizing those connections.
Right.
Almost like a health insurance policy.
Yeah.
The book really stressed how bad social isolation is for us. It increases the risk of so many things, from heart disease to dementia.
It's true.
It makes you realize how much investing in relationships is like investing in a longer life.
That's a great point. Making those connections a priority is key. It's not just about feeling good. It's about protecting yourself down the road.
Right.
So join a club, volunteer, make time for those you love. Even a quick phone call can make a difference. Think of it as a prescription for a healthier life.
So we've got optimism, we've got social connections.
Right.
There's another interesting piece of the puzzle when it comes to aging well. Purpose. We hear that word a lot, but I didn't realize there was actual science behind it.
What's really cool is that research is now showing that having a strong sense of purpose is linked to better physical health. Things like a lower risk of Alzheimer's. It's amazing that finding meaning in your life can have such a big impact on your brain health.
That is remarkable. I was reading about the blue zones.
Yeah.
You know, those places around the world where people live the longest, healthiest lives.
Yeah.
And one thing they all have in common is that they have a really strong sense of purpose. Whether it's their work, their families, being involved in their communities, they have a reason to get up in the morning.
Right.
And that seems to make a real difference in how long and how well they live.
It's not just about adding years to your life. It's about adding life to those years.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, you don't need to have some big world-changing mission to feel that purpose, right?
No, not at all. The book really emphasizes that purpose can be found in everyday life. It could be your hobbies, the people you love, or just finding ways to contribute to your community in a way that feels good to you.
So someone listening might be thinking, I haven't found my big purpose yet. What advice would you give them based on the book? Where do they start?
I'd say start with what brings you joy. Think about the activities that make you completely lose track of time, the things you love to do. Those are clues to where your purpose might be hiding. And don't be afraid to try new things. You never know what's going to light you up.
That's great advice. It was about those little sparks of joy,
right?
That can help us find our way to a greater sense of purpose. Now let's talk about something that can affect how we age that, well, sometimes it feels like a bit of a downer. Stress, it's something we all experience, but the book really points out how chronic stress is like hitting fast forward on the aging process.
That's true. It affects us mentally and physically. The book gets into the science of how stress hormones, things like cortisol, can actually damage our DNA. They shorten those telomeres we were talking about. And basically, they just make our bodies wear out faster.
Yeah.
So it's not just about feeling frazzled. Stress actually changes things at a cellular level.
That's a bit scary, to be honest. But the book doesn't just leave us there, does it?
No, not at all.
It gives us some really useful tools to manage stress. It talks about different therapies like cognitive behavioral therapy, that's CBT.
Yes.
And mindfulness-based stress reduction, or MBSR. Those are actually backed by research, and they can be super helpful.
They can. CBT helps you change negative thought patterns that make stress worse. And MBSR uses mindfulness techniques to help you become more aware of your thoughts and feelings without judgment, so you can respond to stress in a healthier way.
It's amazing to think that these therapies that are often used for mental health are now being recognized for how much they can help us age well.
Yeah, it is.
But what I really liked is that the book also talked about practical things you can start using right away, without having to go to a therapist.
Oh, absolutely.
Things like deep breathing exercises, progressive muscle relaxation, and visualization. They've all been shown to help calm your nervous system and lessen the effects of stress. And anyone can do them.
Exactly. And the great thing about these techniques is that they give you a sense of control over your stress. Instead of feeling overwhelmed, you learn how to regulate your emotions and handle tough situations better. It's about giving you the skills to respond to stress in a healthier way.
So it's not about getting rid of stress completely. That's probably impossible. It's more about changing how we relate to stress.
You got it. It's about becoming more resilient. And what's really great is that these techniques are for everyone. You don't need any special equipment. You can practice deep breathing anywhere, anytime, and start feeling the benefits right away.
It's like having a stress relief kit you carry around with you.
I like that.
Speaking of things that can help us age better, I was really interested in the section on mindfulness and meditation. It seems like that's where we really see how connected our minds and bodies are.
It is. The book does a great job of explaining how practicing mindfulness can literally change our brains and bodies for the better. And it's not just about, you know, sitting on a cushion and chanting Om for hours. It's about training yourself to be more present and aware in your everyday life. And that has some incredible benefits as we age for our bodies and our minds.
Yeah, it goes beyond just relaxing. I was blown away by the research that shows how mindfulness can actually make your brain more adaptable.
That's right. It can actually promote neuroplasticity.
Neuroplasticity. Now, what is that again?
So neuroplasticity is your brain's ability to change and adapt. And as we age, it's super important for keeping our minds sharp and flexible.
Right.
Mindfulness can also help boost your immune system, which we know is super important for staying healthy as we get older.
So it's a win-win. You boost your brain power and your defenses all at the same time.
Exactly.
Now, the book talked about different types of meditation. Mindfulness meditation, loving kindness meditation, transcendental meditation.
It's true.
There are so many. It can be a little overwhelming if you're new to all this. It can.
Yeah.
How would you explain those different types and how they benefit us?
Well, each type has its own little quirks and focuses, but they're all about training your mind to be more present. So in mindfulness meditation, you're focusing on your breath your thoughts, and your physical sensations without judging them. In loving kindness meditation, you're cultivating feelings of, well, loving kindness towards yourself and others.
Oh, okay.
And then you've got transcendental meditation, where you use specific mantras to quiet your mind and really relax. The good thing is, you can try them all out and see what works best for you. The book does a good job of explaining how to do each one, even if you're a beginner.
So it's not about finding the right kind of meditation. It's more about finding the one that feels right for you. That takes some pressure off. And the book gives you steps to get started, even if you've never meditated before.
It does. It tells you everything. How to sit, how to focus on your breath, and how to gently bring your mind back when it wanders, because it will. It makes it clear that meditation is a practice, not about reaching some perfect state of bliss.
It's about showing up and doing it, even if it's just for a few minutes each day. And over time, you start to see the benefits. Now, before we move on to part two, let's talk about cognitive health. It's something that comes up a lot when we talk about getting older. We hear about age-related decline, but the book has a more, I don't know, hopeful take on it, doesn't it?
It does. We have more control over our brain health than we might think. It emphasizes how important mental stimulation is for keeping our brains working well. It's like any other muscle. You've got to use it or you lose it.
So just like we exercise our bodies, we've got to exercise our brains too.
Right.
What can we do to keep our minds sharp as we age?
One great way is to learn new skills. It could be a language, a musical instrument, or even just a new recipe. The key is to keep your mind actively learning and growing.
I love that. And what about play?
Play is great.
Playing games, doing puzzles, being creative. The book says those are good for your brain too.
They are. It's about finding things that make you think in new ways and spark your curiosity.
And the book talks about specific exercises for your brain.
It does. Things like memory exercises, visualization, and problem-solving tasks. It's like having a gym for your mind, helping you strengthen those cognitive muscles and keep everything working well.
So in addition to all the things we've talked about, optimism, social connections, purpose, stress management, and mindfulness, we can actually train our brains to stay sharp as we get older.
We can.
That's a pretty empowering message.
It really is. And it shows how connected our mental, emotional, and physical well-being are. When we take care of our minds, we're taking care of our bodies, and vice versa. It's a more whole person approach to aging.
Well, we've covered a lot in this first part of our deep dive.
We have.
We learned about the connection between optimism and how long we live, the power of relationships, the importance of purpose, how stress can affect aging, and some really cool tools to manage it. And then we went into this fascinating world of mindfulness and meditation.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It is. And how it can actually make us healthier, both physically and mentally.
And there's more to come. In part two, we'll dive even deeper into some specific techniques you can use.
Great.
We'll really get into the nitty-gritty of how to harness the power of your mind to live a longer, healthier, and happier life.
Sounds good. Can't wait.
We'll be back soon to continue this exploration. Welcome back to our deep dive into psychological factors in aging. We're going to shift gears a bit in this part and really get into the practical stuff.
Okay, great. In part one, we covered all those fascinating connections between our minds and how we age.
We did. Optimism, social connections, stress management, mindfulness. It's incredible how much it all ties together.
It is. But now I'm really curious to hear about some specific things we can actually do.
Let's start with those cognitive exercises we talked about. Brain training. We all want to stay sharp as we get older, and it turns out we can do something about it.
Right. It's like having a mental gym, right?
Exactly. And the book has some great ways to work out your brain. Let's start with memory exercises. They're simple, but really effective.
Like what?
Well, you could try memorizing a list of items, a poem, maybe a short speech, things like that.
Okay.
Or you could play memory games, you know, like concentration or Sudoku.
Oh, I love Sudoku.
It's great, right? It challenges your brain to remember information and make new connections.
So it's like a workout for those brain pathways.
Exactly. Then there's visualization. That's where you create pictures in your mind.
Mm.
You could visualize a familiar place, a happy memory, even a goal you want to achieve. It helps you strengthen your imagination and memory and even improves your focus.
So it's like mental rehearsal for your brain.
You could say that. And then you've got creative problem solving tasks. Those are all about thinking outside the box and finding solutions. It could be brainstorming ideas, solving puzzles, anything that makes you flex those creative muscles and come up with new approaches.
So the key takeaway here is to find activities that keep our brains busy and engaged.
Exactly.
Mm.
Now, let's shift gears a bit and tackle stress. We know that chronic stress is bad for us. It makes us age faster. But the book gives us some awesome tools to manage it. We talked about deep breathing exercises earlier, but I'd love to hear a bit more about how to do them right and how often we should be doing them.
Me too. I think we could all use a little help with stress management.
Absolutely. Deep breathing is super simple, but it's really powerful. It calms your nervous system and reduces stress. Think of it like hitting the reset button for your mind and body. To do it right, you want to find a comfy position. You can sit or lie down, whatever feels good. You can close your eyes if you want. Then you inhale slowly and deeply through your nose, filling your lungs all the way up. Hold your breath for a few seconds, and then exhale slowly through your mouth, letting all the air out. That's it.
That does sound simple.
It is, and you can do it as often as you need to. Even a few minutes a day can make a huge difference. Try it first thing in the morning, before bed, or even when you're feeling stressed out. It's like taking a mini vacation for your mind.
Ooh, I like that. A mini vacation. I need one of those right about now. What about progressive muscle relaxation? I've heard that's good for stress, but I'm not sure how to do it.
It's another great technique. Basically, you tense and then relax different muscle groups in your body, one at a time. It helps you become aware of tension and learn how to let it go.
Okay, so walk me through it. How do you actually do it?
Find a quiet place where you can relax without being disturbed. Close your eyes and take a few deep breaths to center yourself. Then focus on one muscle group, let's say your fists. Clench your fists as tightly as you can, hold the tension for a few seconds, and then slowly release. Notice how different it feels when your muscles are tense versus when they're relaxed. Then move on to the next muscle group, your forearms maybe, and do the same thing. Keep going, working your way through your whole body, all the way from your toes to your head.
It's like scanning your body for tension and then systematically releasing it.
You got it. And with practice, you'll become more aware of when you're holding tension and be able to let go of it more easily.
That sounds really helpful, especially for people who, you know, tend to hold stress in their bodies.
Okay.
Let's move on to visualization. We talked about that earlier as a brain training exercise, but you're saying it's also good for managing stress.
It is. Visualization uses your imagination to create a sense of calm. You visualize a peaceful scene, and that triggers your body's relaxation response. It's like taking a mental vacation.
Oh, I could use a mental vacation right now. So what kind of scene should we be visualizing? Is there a right way to do it?
Choose any scene that makes you feel relaxed. It could be a beach, a forest, anything that brings you a sense of peace. There's no right or wrong way to do it.
I'm already picturing myself on a beautiful beach with the waves rolling in.
Sounds perfect. Now let's talk about mindfulness. We touched on it briefly in the last part. We know it's good for us, but how do we actually do it, especially if we're new to the whole mindfulness thing?
Yeah, I think a lot of people might be a little intimidated by mindfulness. They might think it's all about, you know, meditating for hours.
Yeah.
But the book makes it sound much more approachable.
It is. Mindfulness is all about bringing your attention to the present moment. It's noticing your thoughts and feelings without judgment, just observing what's happening inside and outside of you.
That sounds great, but how do we actually do that? What are some ways to practice mindfulness in our daily lives?
One simple way is to focus on your senses. Really pay attention to what you're seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. Notice the details of your surroundings, the colors, the shapes, the textures. Really savor the present moment.
So it's about slowing down and tuning into what's happening right now.
Exactly. And you can practice this while you're doing everyday things, eating, walking, even taking a shower. Just bring your full attention to whatever you're doing.
I never thought of it that way. So we can be mindful without having to set aside a lot of time for meditation.
Exactly. And speaking of meditation, there are many different types, but one that's really good for aging is loving kindness meditation. Have you heard of it?
I have, but I don't really know what it is.
It's about cultivating love and compassion. You start by directing those feelings towards yourself and then extending them outwards to others. You can do this by repeating phrases like, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be peaceful, may I be free.
That sounds really nice.
Yeah.
But how does it help us as we get older?
Well, studies have shown that it can reduce stress, improve your mood, and even boost your immune system. It also helps you feel more connected to others, which is so important for aging well.
So it's good for our hearts and our minds.
Exactly. Now, let's talk about purpose. We know it's important, but what if you're having trouble finding your purpose?
Yeah, that's a big question. What does the book say about that?
The book suggests starting by thinking about your values, what's truly important to you, what guides your choices and actions, what do you want to leave behind?
Okay, So those are some big questions.
They are, but they can really help you clarify your core beliefs and figure out what truly matters to you.
So it's about figuring out what we believe in and then finding ways to live those beliefs out in our daily lives.
Exactly. Once you have a better understanding of your values, you can start exploring activities and pursuits that align with them. It might involve trying new hobbies, volunteering for a cause you care about, or even changing careers to something that feels more meaningful.
It's about finding that sweet spot where our passions and our values meet.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of trying new things. Sometimes you stumble upon your purpose when you least expect it. It could be something as simple as taking a class, joining a club, or volunteering for a new organization.
So be open to new experiences and see where they lead you. Don't be afraid to step outside your comfort zone.
That's right. Now, let's talk about resilience. Being able to bounce back from challenges is so important, especially as we get older.
Absolutely. How do we build that resilience?
One key is to develop a growth mindset. That's about believing that you can always learn and grow no matter your age. It's about seeing challenges as opportunities rather than setbacks.
So instead of getting discouraged when things get tough, we focus on what we can learn from the experience.
Exactly. And it's also important to reflect on your past successes. Remember the challenges you've overcome, the goals you've achieved.
It's like building a mental library of all the times we've been strong and resourceful.
I like that. And finally, learning to be more flexible with your emotions is huge. It's called emotional flexibility.
Emotional flexibility? I haven't heard that term before.
It's all about recognizing your emotions and adapting to them in a healthy way. It's about not getting stuck in negative emotions, but learning to ride the waves.
So we feel our emotions without letting them control us.
Exactly. When you're emotionally flexible, you can cope with stress better, handle difficult situations, and overall, you just feel more balanced.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, how about those social connections we were talking about? They're so important, but how do we build and maintain them, especially as we get older and maybe our lives change, we move, or we lose people we're close to?
It can be tough, but there are things you can do. The book suggests joining clubs or groups based on your interests.
Oh, yeah. Like a book club, a hiking group, even an online community.
Exactly. It gets you out there and connecting with people who share your interests.
Even if our old social circles aren't there anymore.
Right. And don't forget to nurture the relationships you already have.
How do we do that?
Make an effort to stay in touch. Call your friends, have video chats, plan visits if you can. And don't underestimate the power of small gestures. A card, a text, just letting someone know you're thinking of them can make their day.
Those little things really do matter. It's about making those connections a priority.
It is. And remember, quality time is more important than quantity. Even a short, meaningful conversation can strengthen a bond.
Now, adapting to change can be tough. Life throws us a lot of curveballs, and it can feel even more challenging as we get older.
It's true. We might experience changes with our health, our relationships, our jobs, where we live. Learning to roll with those punches is key for our well-being.
So how do we become more adaptable?
Well, a growth mindset is really helpful here too. When you see change as an opportunity to learn and grow, you're more likely to face it with a positive attitude.
It's about seeing the potential for good in every new experience, even the tough ones.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask for help. Talking to friends, family, a therapist, or joining a support group can give you different perspectives, emotional support, and practical advice. It's a reminder that you don't have to go through it alone.
And what about self-care? How does that play into adapting to change?
Self-care is essential. Make sure you're getting enough sleep, eating healthy foods, exercising, and doing things that bring you joy.
So it's not just about coping with change. It's about giving ourselves the tools to thrive.
You got it. Now, let's circle back to gratitude. We talked about how good it is for us, but how do we make it a more regular part of our lives? Especially when things are tough.
Yeah, it's easy to forget to be grateful when we're stressed out or dealing with challenges.
It is. But the research is clear. Gratitude makes a huge difference in how we feel, both mentally and physically. And it's something we can practice and get better at.
So how do we cultivate more gratitude?
One great way is to keep a gratitude journal. Spend a few minutes each day writing down things you're grateful for. It helps you shift your focus to the positive, even when things are hard.
Okay, so it's like a mental shift towards appreciation.
Exactly. And expressing gratitude to others is powerful too. Whether you say thank you, do something nice for someone, or just acknowledge the good things they do, it can make a big difference for both of you.
It's like spreading positivity around.
It is. Gratitude really is a gift that keeps on giving. It makes our lives richer, and it makes the world a better place.
Well, that brings us to the end of part two of our deep dive into psychological factors in aging. We've learned about some really practical techniques, brain training exercises, ways to manage stress, mindfulness practices, and how to cultivate gratitude.
We've covered a lot, haven't we? And I hope our listeners feel empowered to use this information to make their aging journeys even better.
It's all about taking small steps, finding what works for you, and making gradual changes.
Exactly. Remember, it's progress, not perfection. And most importantly, celebrate every step you take toward a longer, healthier, and more fulfilling life.
Welcome back to our final deep dive into psychological factors in aging. We've covered so much, it's amazing to think how much our minds can affect how we age. We've talked about optimism, social connections, managing stress, mindfulness, finding purpose, even building resilience. It's like we've opened this treasure chest of insights and tools to help us age well.
It has been quite a journey, hasn't it? And in this last part, we're going to talk about how to bring it all together, how to use all this great information to create a plan for yourself, a really holistic approach to aging.
A plan, okay. So it's not just about doing one or two things. It's about, I guess, combining everything we've learned.
Right. It's about creating a lifestyle that supports your well-being on every level, mind, body, and spirit.
Okay, that makes sense. But where do we start? How do we create this master plan for aging well?
I think the best place to start is with yourself right now. Take a look at your life, your habits, your routines, your relationships, even your mindset. What's working? What could be better? It's like taking inventory.
So it's about being honest with ourselves about where we are now and then thinking about where we want to be.
Exactly. And once you have a good sense of your starting point, you can start setting some goals. Remember those SMART goals we talked about before?
Oh, yeah. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
That's right. And don't forget, small changes can make a big difference. You don't have to change everything at once. Start with one or two small things and build from there. It's all about progress, not perfection.
That's good to hear. It can feel a little overwhelming to think about changing everything.
Baby steps, right?
Baby steps. Now, as we think about this whole person approach to aging, let's go back to a few key areas. First, a positive mindset, right? We talked about optimism, but it sounds like it's more than just thinking positive thoughts. It's about having a positive outlook, being hopeful, and looking for the good, even when things are tough.
Exactly. It's about shifting your perspective, seeing the glass as half full instead of half empty. And it's not about pretending that challenges don't exist. It's about choosing to focus on the good, even when things are hard.
It's like looking for the silver lining.
I like that. And it's not always easy, but it's a skill you can practice and get better at.
So train our minds to be more positive. What else is important?
Those strong social connections we talked about, they're crucial. We know that being isolated is bad for us, both mentally and physically. So make sure you're spending time with people you care about.
So making time for loved ones, joining groups, volunteering, anything that gets us connecting with others.
Exactly. And remember, you don't need to spend hours with people to feel connected. Even a quick phone call or a short visit can make a difference. It's about quality, not quantity.
Okay, let's talk about stress. We all have it, but it seems like it's even more important to manage it as we age.
It is. Chronic stress really does a number on our bodies. It ages us faster. So learning how to cope with stress is super important. Remember those techniques we talked about? Deep breathing, progressive muscle relaxation, visualization. Those are all great tools you can use anywhere, anytime.
I've been trying those out, and I have to say, they really help.
That's great to hear. And don't forget to think about what's causing your stress and see if you can make some changes. Maybe you need to set some boundaries, learn to say no more often, or ask for help. It's about taking control.
Right, being proactive instead of just reacting to stress all the time. Okay, what about self-care?
Self-care is so important. It's about taking care of your physical, emotional, and mental health. It's not selfish, it's essential.
So doing things that make us feel good, whether it's taking a bath, reading a book, going for a walk, those things are important.
They are. It's about replenishing your energy and giving yourself what you need to thrive. And speaking of things that help us thrive, let's not forget physical activity.
Right, exercise. Okay. We know we need it, but it seems like it's even more important as we get older.
It is. Staying active helps us maintain our muscle mass, keep our bones strong, protect our hearts, and even keep our minds sharp.
And it doesn't have to be super intense.
Not at all. Even moderate exercise, like brisk walking, swimming, or gardening, can make a big difference. The key is to find something you enjoy and that you can stick with.
So move our bodies in ways that feel good. I like that. Now, what about learning? We talked about brain training exercises, but what about learning in general?
Lifelong learning is key. It's like food for the brain. Learning new things, whether it's a new language, how to play an instrument, or just reading books, helps keep our minds sharp.
So never stop learning.
Yeah.
Always be curious and try new things.
Exactly. And finally, let's come back to purpose. That sense of meaning and direction in our lives, it's so important for our overall well-being, especially as we age.
It's like that feeling that our lives matter, that we're making a difference.
Yes. And it can be a powerful force for good, keeping us motivated and engaged in life.
So how do we find our purpose, especially if we're not sure what it is?
It's a journey. It might involve looking inward, reflecting on your values, exploring your passions, or connecting with something bigger than yourself, a cause you believe in. It could be through your work, your relationships, or just how you live your life each day.
And it can change over time, right?
Absolutely. Our purpose can evolve as we do. It's about staying open to new possibilities and seeing where life takes you.
Well, this deep dive into psychological factors in aging has been incredible. I feel like I have a whole new understanding of how to age well.
I'm so glad to hear that. Remember, it's never too late to start making positive changes. Everything you do to live a healthier, more fulfilling life makes a difference. Not just for you, but for the people around you too.
It's like a ripple effect spreading outward.
Exactly. You have the power to shape your own aging experience and create a life that is rich with meaning, purpose, and joy.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this amazing journey. It's been a pleasure learning from you and exploring these ideas together.
The pleasure was all mine. I wish you all the best on your path toward a long, healthy, and fulfilling life.